We're in this new series called What If? And one of the things I've been thinking about is, what if we listen to what God is calling us to do in our lives? What if we listened and actually did what God we feel God is telling us to do? And so I've been pondering this question, and I got to talk with Nancy Sherbaum a little bit this week, and she had a kind of a what-if moment. What if God was doing some stuff in her life? And I asked her if she'd like to share about that, and she was a little apprehensive. I said, no, it's not, you know, all the cool things you did. I want you to share about what God did through you, because I don't think we do enough testimonies in our church and the things that God is doing in our lives as we respond to him. So Nancy's going to come up. I bribed her to come up and share with us this morning a little story on what happened to her, and I think it's awesome. And so I wanted her to share that with you guys as we're in the midst of this IF series. So I'm going to turn it over to her. We may get out of here by 12:30. I don't know. It depends on how.
You mean I can't go to one? Okay. Well, if my voice shakes, you'll have to forgive me because I don't like being up in front of people. But one of the things is I have a wonderful uncle, and he always tells me that every day he prays that God will put, I knew I was going to do this, somebody in his life that he can share Christ with. And so Monday morning, this week after, during my devotions, I prayed about that, and I said, Lord, just give me somebody that I can touch this today. And I don't usually go to McDonald's for breakfast, honestly. Even if I look like it, I don't. But that day, I decided to go to McDonald's and get a sandwich. And so as I was driving to McDonald's, out in front of Walmart was a young man, and he was wearing a sandwich sign. And on the sign, it said, I'm a thief. I stole from Walmart. And my heart was just immediately touched by that. And I thought, wow, young man, Jesus could make a difference in your life. And God, you know, spoke to me about, well, buy him a sandwich, you know, and stop and say something to him. And I fought with God. I didn't want to do it, even though I had prayed that morning, you know, for me to do that. And so I thought, well, I'll give him one of our IF cards. Maybe, you know, that'll be, he could come to church. And so I came back to church, and I was actually secretly hoping Brent would hear, because, you know, when you get in a conversation with Brent, it lasts a while. And I was hoping that maybe I'd miss the guy. But Brent wasn't here. God just orchestrated everything. I did see Brent. He pulled into his driveway as I was pulling out, and we had a few brief words, and he gave me some encouragement to do what God called me to do. I went back by Walmart. The young man wasn't there. And I thought, oh, well, maybe God's just asking me to just be faithful to what he's calling me to do. But then I thought, well, maybe he had to walk uptown, and that's where he had to leave his sign. And so I drove uptown. He wasn't along the way. And normally I wouldn't go back by Walmart to go home. I would go a different way. But something just, God pushed me to go back by Walmart. I went back by Walmart, and I don't know where the young man was, but he was back out there. So I bought him a donut. I bought some orange juice. I had a note that I had written for him along with the IF card. And I pulled up to the side of the, by Monroe Muffler, I think that's what it's called. And I thought to myself, again, I was looking for excuses. Maybe somebody will come behind me and I'll have to pull out, you know. But God didn't. God had a plan for that young man. And I really believe that God has a plan for him, and he needs to see it. And so I got out of the car. I asked him if he could take it. He said yes. He didn't even know what it was when I handed it to him. And so I've just been praying for that young man. I'm just praying that there's a seed sown in his life, that he'll know that Jesus can make a difference in his life. So I just encourage you, I'm not brave. It's like Brent said, it's not about me. But when God lays it on your heart, don't think it's foolish. Even if it feels like it's something foolish, just listen to God.
Thank you for sharing that, because I don't know. I mean, I can speak for myself and how many times that I've felt God nudge at my heart and I give all these excuses. Well, you know, oh, maybe some other time, or maybe I'll do it a different time, or I don't know, maybe it's just my stomach's upset, or because I haven't ate lunch yet, and I'm hungry, and that's why I'm feeling this way. We kind of give all these excuses on, you know, give all these excuses to God and try and convince ourselves that it's not God, you know, and we just need to listen to the still small voice. It's a still small voice, and it's hard to listen to the still small voice in this loud world, and we're so involved in so much stuff and going every which way. And so I encourage you guys to listen to God as he speaks to you and then share your stories with us, because we love to hear your stories about what God's doing in you and through you. And you know, here's an opportunity where God can change this young man's if only regrets into his what if dreams and possibilities. And so I just thank Nancy for listening to God, and I encourage her that morning, hey, if God's telling you to do it, you got to do it. You need to be faithful and do that. And so I'm thankful that she did, and I'm thankful that she shared. Thank you, Nancy. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, go ahead and open up to Romans chapter 8. We're going to continue our If series this morning. And during this series, we're going to be kind of landing in this chapter, this Romans 8 chapter. Some call it the greatest chapter in the Bible, the Super 8. So it's a good stuff, and I encourage you guys to read through this in your daily devotions every day. Don't just read it to get through it, but read it so it gets into you and really break it down and see what God's telling you, because there's a lot of good stuff in here. But this morning, we're actually going to be looking at verse 28, so 8:28, and the title of the sermon this morning is All Things New. Do you guys like new things? You guys like new things? Nobody? Nobody like, everybody hates new things. They're like, I hate new things. Give me all the old stuff. I like to go to garage sales and get everybody else's junk, and it's my treasure, right? No, you guys like new things, right? Right? If I gave away a new car this morning, you guys wouldn't take it? You're like, no, it's a new car. I only want to drive old cars, right? No, we like new stuff. I like new clothes. I like new socks. I actually got some new socks this week, and I'm actually wearing them. I got not very many people. Who do you know that wears dress shoes with low-cut socks? Yeah, that's me right there. That's me. Got some new socks. I love the feel of new socks, the smell of new socks. I like the smell of a new car. Anyone ever gotten to go to the dealership and get in a new car and you just go, you know, take that big whiff. Anybody gotten into a car of somebody that has kids, right? Yeah. And they get in and the first thing they say is, sorry about the smell, you know? Found a diaper underneath the seat back there, and there's like, you're like weeding through kids' throw up and stuff they've dropped all over the place. That's our van. If we don't clean it out, our kids are messy. But I like buying new shoes. Anybody with me? Ladies? Anybody? Yeah? Come on, ladies. I know you like to buy new shoes. My wife has a closet full of them, so I know you like it. The smell of them, the feel of them, there's just something about new, right? There's something about new. Did you know that God can make all things new? All things. Come on, Pastor Brent, you don't mean all things. No, all things. All things new. In fact, some of you may be thinking, what do you mean? What does he mean? I mean all things. All things. God can make all things new. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. All things, all things. So how can God make all things work together for our good? Well, there's more to this scripture. And it says, if we're loving God and we're living called according to his purposes for our lives, then he'll work all things together for our good. In other words, there are some conditions here to this scripture. There's more to it than just simply saying, God, work all things together for my good. Bam. No, there's more to it, because in this passage it says that it's for those who are living called according to his purpose. Listen to the Message translation of this scripture in Romans chapter 8, 28. This is the Message version. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. Every detail. So, Pastor Brent, when you say all things, do you really mean all things? Yeah, I do. In fact, I made a list of some of the things, and maybe you can identify with some of these all things. Inconvenient things, difficult things, upsetting things, hurtful things, unexpected things, frustrating things, tough things, problems, mistakes, sickness, health, barrenness, fruitfulness, calling, family, purpose, marriage, even to the point of life and death. All things. God can work all things together for your good. Now, how many of you know that not everything is good? You guys know that? How many know not everything is good, right? Everything that happens is not good. But here's what you need to remember. We serve a good God no matter what happens. We serve a good God no matter what happens. I want to ask you all some questions this morning. And the first one is this. Do you ever feel like in life, everything and everyone is conspiring against you? Ever feel like that? Ever feel like that? Some people just feel like that. And it's almost like this victim mentality. I hate to call it that, but it's almost like this victim mentality. Like, everyone's out to get me. Like when there's a contest or a drawing, you just say, why do I even bother? I never win anything, right? Anybody ever said that? I never win anything. I'm not even going to bother. What's the point? You know what I say? I'm going to win everything. I want to win everything. I actually, when I was in high school, I remember I was working at a job, and this is the year, anybody remember Furbies? That was like the craze one Christmas. It was so much of a craze that we only had a select few at the store that I worked at, and we actually held one back, and we did a raffle for this Furby so that way the employees could get a chance to buy one. And I went to walk into the office to sign up, and I was walking with this lady into the office, and she's like, I don't even know why I'm going in here. I'm not going to win it. I go, you're right, because I'm going to win it. And guess what? I won it. I'm going to win everything. That's what I say. I want to win everything. I want to win everything. Don't you all want to win? Don't you want to win? How many Buckeyes fans here want to win? Right? Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. The atmosphere just changed. Seriously. I just asked you if you wanted to win in life, and you're like, yeah, sure. Yeah, I guess. How many of you guys want to win in Buckeyes fans? Yeah, I want the Buckeyes to win. Go Bucks, OH. Michigan stinks, right? What about life? I want to win in life. I want to win. I want to kick the devil in the teeth. I want to win. When I wake up in the morning, I want the devil to be like, oh man, he's awake. Oh man, he's awake. When my feet hit the floor, I want the gates of hell to shake. I want to win. Or are you waking up saying, I'm sure something bad's going to happen to me today? Right? Are you living your life loving God, living called, and have you found His purpose for your life? That's the big question. And today's sermon is actually all questions. It's all questions for you to ask yourself. And that's the biggest. That's the biggest question. What if, starting today, right now, you made the decision, the choice, to love God, to live called, and to find God's purpose? What if? What if? That's the big question. That's how all things work together for good. You're good. And we just read that in Romans 8. We just read that. How do all things work together for your good? It's for those who love God, are called according to His purposes. It's like I said a couple weeks ago. You guys remember when I was talking about Daniel a couple weeks ago? You need to get to the point in your life where praising God is just what you do. You need to get to the point in your life where praising God is just what you do, whether it's in the good times or the bad times, the joyful times or dark times, no matter what season of life you're in, praising God is just what you do. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. You guys know you have a purpose? You guys know that? Each and every single person here has a purpose. You're not too old, you're not too young, single, divorced, whatever your circumstances, God has a purpose for your life. A divine appointment. You have a purpose. Now, I do have a concern, and the concern is this. Many people are living saved, but they're not living called. Many people are living saved, but they're not living called. You following me? Many people are living saved, but they're not living called. There is a difference between being saved and being called. Because when you're being called, you know His purpose. When you're called, you're living on purpose. When you're called, you understand that God has a purpose and a plan and a dream, and you're not only loving God, you're living called and you know His purpose. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, listen to these words. It says this, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. You guys know you have a holy calling? A holy calling. Not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. His own purpose and grace. You have a purpose, and if you are in Christ, His grace is upon you. He wants you to live out the purpose He has given to you in your life. So what if you and I loved God, live called, and found out His purpose? What if? What if? Because here's the truth. Here's the truth. Once you begin to live your life with a purpose, powerful things begin happening in you and through you because you have a higher calling. A higher calling, a higher purpose. Wow, that's a lot. So how can I do this? How can I do this? Bad news. You can't. You can't. It's impossible. You can't do it. Want me to show you how you can? Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, I can do all things. There's that, those two words again. All things through Christ. Through Christ who strengthens me. All things through Christ who strengthens me. The rest of our time here this morning, I want to ask you five questions. Five questions for you to think about this morning. And the first one is this. What if God is first in all things? What if God is first in all things? What if God is first in all things in your life? Okay, Brent. What does first mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at this verse in Colossians chapter 17 through 18. It says, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything, all things, He might have the supremacy. First. God must be first in your life. What does that look like? Honoring Him with everything you have. Putting Him first in every area of your life. Not holding anything back. Not making any exceptions. First in your time, first in your treasures, first in your tithe, first in your talents, everything. You mean you want me to give Him everything? Yeah, everything. It's the only way He can work all things together for your good if you live called, if you love God, and if you find His purpose. Everything. Number two is, what if God has dominion in all things? What if God has dominion in all things? Look at this scripture in Psalms 8:6. It says, You made them rulers over the works of Your hands. You put everything under their feet. You got any hard things going on in your life right now? We've been talking about that for weeks, right? Overwhelmed, the hard stuff in your life. Got any crappy situations hanging around in your life? You know what it's time to do? Put them under my feet, right? Take the authority that God has given you and put them under your feet. Did you know that He's given you all authority? He has. So take your Nikes and crush the devil's head. I'm serious. When you get up in the morning, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And devil, watch out, because I have all authority and you are under my feet. It's the only way we can do it. It's through the power of God. Because here's what I know, and don't miss this. Many things in life are bigger than you. Would you agree? We face things in life that are bigger than us, but guess what? God is bigger than all things. God is bigger than all things. Anything you are facing, God is bigger. Number three, what if God gets the glory in all things? What if God gets the glory in all things? Well, Brent, how can I give him glory with what I'm going through? Notice I never said give him glory for all things. I said give him glory in all things. What does that mean? Listen, things are going to happen in your life. You will make some wrong choices, and bad things are going to happen to good people. And some people actually say, why do bad things happen to good people? Because bad things happen to all people, right? I mean, that's just how it is. But you got to understand that we give God glory. Look at 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things, there's those two words again, all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. If things go well, I'm going to give him glory. If things don't go well, I'm going to give him the glory. It doesn't matter what happens, God still gets the glory. I love the scene in the movie Facing the Giants. Who's seen Facing the Giants? You guys seen Facing the Giants? I love the scene in the locker room when the coach says, if we win, we praise him. If we lose, we praise him. It doesn't matter. He gets the glory. Why? Because he's God and he deserves all the glory. Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 says this, and it's on the screen. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I'm up, I'm down, I'm on the mountaintop, and in the valley, doesn't matter. Paul says, I'm going to give him the glory, no matter what. Number four is this. What if God works out purpose in all things? What if God works out purpose in all things? Oh, come on. God can't work out purpose in what I'm going through. God can't work out purpose in the decisions I've made. There's no way God can work out purpose in me with what I've done, really? Check this verse out. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Believe that God is ultimately working in all things in your life. He's working in all things in your life. You want to know your purpose? You better know his promise. What better way to know his promise than to read his word? Study God's word. Know his promises. He has a purpose and a plan for your life. He knows your beginning and your end. He wrote the book on your life. He knows. Number five is this. What if God can make all things new in me? What if God can make all things new in me? This last question is the most important question. Because until he has made all things new in you, all these other questions won't make sense. All these other questions won't line up, because until you open your heart and let God come in and save you and heal you and forgive you and transform you, you can't deal with your purpose until you give God your own heart. And when you give God your heart, he comes in and makes all things new. How do I know? Because the Bible tells us so. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, anyone is in Christ. The new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. He makes all things new. Do you need a new chapter written in your life? Some of you may be like, I don't need a new chapter. I need a whole new book. Right? I read the book on my life. And, psh, it was a boring read. Right? Terrible read. Some of you need a new book written on your life. Some of you need a new chapter. Do you know that God wants to write His story on your heart? He does. He wants to write His story on your heart, and the only way that He can do that is by giving Him a blank page. Allowing Him to forgive you of your past so you can move towards a future filled with His hope, His purposes, and His dreams. He can make all things new as long as you do what? Love God, live called, and find out His purposes.